Now, thoughts on the future of healthcare and yesterday's summit from our regular Friday political commentators, E.J. Dion of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Good to be with you.
When you were watching the healthcare summit yesterday, what do you think, David? Must-see TV? Were you invigorated? Were you bored? Surprised? What struck you?
Gripping, shaking with joy. And not since C-SPAN 3 first came on the air. I've been so excited.
Come on.
No, I actually found it quite a good show. Quite interesting. Good exchanges. For example, there was one exchange where Lamar Alexander says to Barack Obama, your plan would raise premiums by 13%. Obama comes back and says, but that's not fair because the coverage is a lot better. And then John Kyle comes in and says, but you're mandating the coverage. Shouldn't people get a choice of what coverage? And that leads to a discussion of whether people have choices or not. And that's the kind of discussion that actually we should be having and we haven't really had. So I thought all in all, both sides did quite well and it was a pretty decent discussion.
A different kind of discourse than we're used to seeing in Washington, even though there were talking points that
were
sort of the
fallback
position.
Right, there were talking points. And to be fair, the whole thing was a lie. Now, nobody was going to be influenced by it. It was just a show for one day and now we're back to normal. But for that one day, that one fantasy day, we got outside the power structure. So the leadership in the House and Senate were quite poor, I thought. But you had rank-and-file members who actually know what they're talking about, and they had more of a spotlight.
EJ, you said going into that summit that the president was essentially calling the Republicans' bluff, saying, show me what you got, put it on the table. Do you think he succeeded in doing that?
I think he did, because I think that what you saw is the Republicans really, truly don't want to pass comprehensive health care reform. They kept trying to bring the discussion to process. Oh, no, you can't use reconciliation. And President Obama said, I don't think voters are terribly interested in the processes of the Senate. And I think he's right about that. I think he did a very important thing yesterday. He gave some heart to Democrats. He told them, we're going to go ahead whether we have Republicans or not. And while it is difficult to get to the majority they need in the House, I, number one, never bet against Nancy Pelosi. And I think what happened yesterday really helped. At one point in exchange with Senator Barrasso, I think he just put it right on the line. He was saying that people can debate about a lot of things, but he said we can debate about whether or not we can afford to help them, he said, about the uninsured, but we shouldn't pretend somehow that they don't need help. Either you want to help the uninsured or you don't. And he laid that right out.
David, though, you seem to feel there is room for the Republicans here to be happy about the presentation yesterday and what came out of it.
Yeah, they're thrilled. I mean, the presentation, they did very well, much better than in Baltimore, so they're fine with the presentation. But they're really happy that the presentation was a one-day event, which everybody's going to ignore from now on because the Democrats are going to go in with reconciliation. And for the Republicans, this is the best of all possible worlds because in their view, the Democrats are going to spend the next 2-3 months talking about health care, not jobs. They're going to be doing it in a very ugly process. And the odds are still 60-70%. They get nothing big out of it at the end of the day. So to Republicans, see this as a chance to take back the House. And on current models, the Republicans will take back the House. And the Republicans see this as really continuing the momentum of the last several months.
Just two quick things. One, if better than Baltimore is the Republicans' new standard, they will always exceed it. And I put the odds at better than David does that they're going to get a bill out of this.
Well, let's go back to that question that Andrea Seabrook posed at the end of her piece. Do members take a stand and run the risk of getting nothing done? Or do they accomplish something, but nothing that's perfect, nothing to write home about, EJ?
I think it's really the big thing or not much at all, the Democrats passing a health care bill. I think there's been talk of a scale back bill. The problem with that is that you'd have to start the process all over again. And it's not clear to me that the Republicans would be any more eager to cover, say, 15 million more people than they are today to cover 31 million more people. The White House considered the smaller bill, and I think they just decided the only way to do this is to go for broke.
Dave?
Yeah, I mean, the plan B was 15 million at a quarter of the price, half the people at a quarter of the price, somehow sort of a reasonable deal. The thing that's happening here is all the substance is now being totally destroyed by the politics. And so what we had this week, to me, the most important thing that happened is we gutted the excise tax, the tax on the so-called Cadillac plans. That was the number one cost-saving measure, and it was the number one long-term revenue source. And it was completely gutted over the past
weeks. It wasn't
weeks.
Gutted. It comes in much
well,
later
come in
to
in
get some votes.
A way to pay for what they're
planning here. First of all, it comes in 2018 after we're all long gone, or at least Barack Obama's long gone. And if you think Congress is going to accept in 2018 a $1 trillion tax hike that this Congress doesn't have the guts to put in, then forget about it. That's just not going to happen. And so to me, what's happening is they've got cutting out the cuts of this thing for politics.
You know, there was discussion.
I just disagree with that, but we could go on. I think the guts of this thing are you going to insure a lot more people? Do you have a lot of measures in here to contain costs? Yes, you do.
Just want to move on to one last point here. There was talk yesterday, and I think, David, you raised this in your column today, about the popularity or the lack of popularity for the measure before Congress. Do you agree, EJ, or how far would you go in saying that this measure before Congress is, in fact, popular with the American public?
If you take it as a whole and just ask people about this thing, it's unpopular. If you take individual components of it, it is popular. I think the whole process of last year made it very unpopular, and that's why the discussion yesterday was so important to Obama and the Democrats. It put it in a different optic. People looking at that could at least say, well, at least I understand this isn't such a terrible process. Obama knows what he's talking about. So I think that improved it a little bit.
And David, how much do you think public perception is shaped by how the question is framed, of what they think they're voicing their opinion on?
Yeah, I sort of agree with EJ, but I think it's the overall expansion of what people see as the expansion of government, not a specific piece of legislation. I should say views overall on health care have not moved in 4 years. The public is, or 4 months, the public is basically dug in.
Thanks to you both. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
David Brooks of The New York Times, EJ Dionne of The Washington Post, and Brookings Institution.